Seen meditation in this way.
What's your name?
I've never seen meditation in this way before.
Just remind me of your name.
Oh, my name is Tom. Usually I have to be my name. Karen.
Karen, okay.
But I always thought that it was something that I do aside of my real life, something I'm trying to get back to, a practice that would help me achieve actually a better experience. These questions, I'm seeing that the answers and the inquiries have given me answers to the problems that I've been having for the last year. So really finding the most natural way to my day-to-day.
Right. How is it to see that? That in some ways you've been using your meditation practice as an attempt to get away from your experience, to escape yourself in some way. And that what you're noticing in the inquiries, it sounds like, is that actually there's more possibility for freedom not in getting away from or escaping, but actually in coming more deeply into your experience.
I think that this race, the reading and praying that makes me happy. And I also realize that I've been really misled by a lot of my teachers, not spiritual teachers, but other ones that kept begging me to stop concentrating, concentrating. Because it's through myself that I'm able to sort of get at the ego.
Well, just to really trust that you're seeing, and to really trust your willingness and your capacity to really abide in yourself, to come back to the truth of your immediate experience. In the way that can open up. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. sometimes, particularly if for some of you who've done quite a lot of silent meditation retreat, and for whom you may have the sense that your practice is grounded in silence, then there's just the appreciation of the power and the depth and the beauty of silence. But what can also happen is that we start to equate silence with depth, as if that's where the real work gets done. And we have to be silent in order to be present, or we have to be silent in order to really meet ourselves. And then that's a big limitation. Basically, we have to spend the rest of our lives in retreat, if that's the case. So it's very helpful, I think, to really try hold the movements within these days of silence to inquiry and back again as one seamless whole, that they're different angles, different skillful means for the same kind of exploration. Yeah. And in different ways, intimacy that can be there in silence and the intimacy that can be there in contact. And the shift in intimacy that you speak about seems to be that there's no limit to which we can experience intimacy with ourselves, with others, with life. Yeah. Your name? Shani. Yeah.
I know it changes also because of the way we ask the question. But really, it made the answer really shallow answer. It wasn't deep as before. So the experience.
Right. It sounds like you were really seeing that quite clearly in your experience as it was happening. Yeah. If you could speak a little louder so others can hear, and just to remind me of your name, Eliane.
Why?
It's a good question. A friend of mine once, who was giving a Dharma talk, tried to collect a list from asking friends around of lists of positive emotions and lists of negative emotions. And the list of positive emotions she collected was about that long. And the list of negative emotions she collected was much, much longer. It was impressive. That we just had more reference, more names, more discrimination, more sense of negative emotions than positive ones. And we often define ourselves in terms of our problems and our afflictions and our issues and our difficulties and our struggles. And that might seem a little daunting or depressing in some way, and yet at the same time, the very orientating towards our difficulties is the way that we get to understand and transform them. Last one.
Then we have all these 15 minutes together, or not? For me, it was like a pink pot between experiencing the instability and changing, or going to the other side and trying to build something. And so tricky that from this realizing why it brings joy to be in this flow, changing experience, and trusting for this, and having ideas about how it could be to live like that, always, making a project or a new theory out of that. Only by going back to the simple experience of sitting and listening and hearing and feeling the breath. That's a very back.
Right. Yeah. So we, our minds tend to make an idea or a project or a thing out of any experience. So we're there to explore impermanence, we start to notice it, and then our minds get busy and we make a thing out of it, make a project out of how to be in touch with impermanence. And the idea can never hold or contain or express the fluidity, the vibrancy. The idea is always kind of fixed, dead in some way. Possibility goes out of the living experience when it becomes an idea, a project. And so, like you say, as we recognize that, that's also the invitation to drop back, come back to the immediacy as a real reference for what's happening. So it's not that we shouldn't have ideas or that we shouldn't have projects, but just recognizing the way in which an idea of something can't fully express the truth. So, time for supper. The shift again from the